The deeper we go, the deeper he'll bring us. The more we open, the greater he'll open. Be it unto us according to our faith. The depths of the treasures we can know, guys, is out of this world. It's out of this world. Don't let anything rob you of this Jesus. Don't let anyone rob you. Don't let your own mind or soul rob you. Go all the way. Turn all the way. Don't stop for no one or nothing. You will really know him, and he will be the treasure of your life. Thank you, Lord. You know, Paul did that. Why was God able to use Paul so much? Because he went all the way. He held back nothing. He counted it all loss to gain the treasure of Christ the Lamb as his life. He said in Philippians, what was the scripture? Who knows that scripture?
It was for my profit. I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, Son of the Lord, for whose sake I suffered the loss of all things.
Paul did that. He did that, and his life was a journey, not just of knowing Jesus, but of letting the Lamb live in him in such a way that he went unto the Father in sacrifice. It happened in Paul. Why are his writings so powerful? Why is his life such a testimony? Because Paul was dead. That happened to Paul. He said, I am dead. I am crucified. It's not I. It is Jesus in me. It's not me. But it wasn't puffy head knowledge in him. He knew that. He lived. He knew it was the Son in him. So much for that at the end of Galatians. I mean, these Galatians that didn't know anything about God said, we glorify God inside of you, Paul, because you used to kill Christians. And now you're sharing the Lamb. You're living. It's not you. We know it's not you. That man got a hold of the treasure, and that treasure took him around the world. But it didn't take him just around the world. It took him straight to the altar. And to get to the final altar, let's read our verse. It's on that page. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. It's on this page. For him to finish his course, for him to go where the Lamb inside of him wanted to go, eventually, where did he have to end up? If the Lamb was the one inside of him taking him on the journey, where would the Lamb eventually end up? The altar, that's right. And guess what took him to his final altar? A great big ship and a treacherous voyage at sea. It's the last chapters of Acts, and we are going to read it right now because it is so where we are at. Amen? So let's open up to the book of Acts, and we are going to read about this man, Paul, who knew the Lord in the way we are wanting to know the Lord. And we are going to read about the last years of his life and the journey that he took on a big treacherous sea to get that lamb all the way to the altar and sacrifice to the Father, the firstborn. Amen. I think it's going to be chapter 27. We're going to start in chapter 27. And again, this is we're going to read to the very end of the book of Acts, because this voyage is amazing. It's awful. It's incredible. But listen, this is the journey that Paul had to go on, not to have a wonderful pleasure cruise, but to give the Father his Son and to give life for others through Jesus Christ dying in him. And this, all the things we're going to read about, is the end of Paul's life. Do you think that's amazing? The Lord just opened this to me this morning for us. It's just so cool. So you are going to see so many things in the verses that we read. And as the Lord shows you, we want to hear from each other what God is speaking to us. And if you don't see it right away, go ahead and, write it down so we can listen later. Because there's going to be an enormous amount of stuff in here the Lord's going to share with each of our hearts. Chapter 27 of Acts, and starting with verse 1. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea. So here we go. Paul's on a ship. They're off to sea, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously treated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. So he's on the ship, and he gets to go off and say hi to his buddies at a certain port. And when we had put to sea from there, we sailed unto the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. Notice how much traveling is going on and how many different winds and situations. We sailed unto the lee of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, to the city of Lycia. And there a centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us on board. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarcely were come off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmone and passing it with difficulty. So notice there's starting to be problems. And passing it with difficulty, we came unto a place which is called Fair Havens, near to which was the city of Lycia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with injury and much damage, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the greater part advised to depart from there also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing from there, they sailed close by to Crete. So does anyone kind of see what's happening in these verses? Any comments? Because there's a lot that we just read, particularly in the last few paragraphs. What was happening? What did Paul tell the people on the ship that they needed to do that the owner and captain of the ship did not agree with?
They needed to stop and lay anchor.
Yes. And the captain said, right. And why did he say that? What was motivating him based on certain things?
He was persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship.
Mm-hmm. And verse 12 gives a few.
Yeah, there it is. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, they said, so because it wasn't a great place to stay, they decided to keep going.
Yeah, it wasn't comfortable to spend winter in the place where Paul said we need to stop or we're going to die maybe. And it's going to be awful. They said, no, we'd rather go to Phoenicia. It's a wonderful place to spend the winter. And also, verse 13, there's a south wind blowing softly. So, hey, this is a good idea. You know, the wind is blowing softly. We're needing to get to Phoenicia. It's going to be a lovely place to winter. We don't need to listen to Paul. He's out of tune. He's out of tune with what? With my soul that wants to winter in Phoenicia. Because it's a pleasant place. He's also out of tune with obvious signs because there's a south wind blowing gently in. It's not going to be a bad trip if the south wind's blowing gently in. So, you know, verse 13, it says, supposing they had obtained their purpose. Well, what is their purpose that they're obtaining?
Just get to whatever.
Phoenicia.
Mine says Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Mine says Phoenix.
Phoenix. To get to a good place that was comfortable to them. Their purpose was not to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Because where was the Lamb wanting to go? Who was in Paul? He said, Paul said, no, we need to keep going. Remember, where is it? Where is Paul's words here? And he says, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with injury and much damage, not only of the cargo and of the ship. So he's saying, don't go, don't go. Well, the Lamb in Paul is saying, don't move forward. But the people are saying, we should move forward because it's going to be uncomfortable to stay and the weather is good. Do those people on that ship know about following the Lamb whithersoever they go, he goeth? No, what are they really following? What is their purpose? It says, supposing they had obtained their purpose. Their treasure, their purpose is their own soul. It's also what they think in the knowledge of good and evil is right. It's also based on what they perceive and not what is in the Lamb's heart. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's a greater knowing of Jesus than just understanding his teaching. There's a greater knowing of Jesus than just getting prophesied over and the Lord saying, there's a fair wind blowing, do this or do that. But what is in the Lamb's heart is to go to the altar and give his life. And that means it might not be a fair winter. And it might not be the best place for you in your soul, the sweetest experience, the best lodging for your purpose, if it's your own soul. But if your purpose is to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, then you follow, even if there is a storm on the horizon, and even if it takes you past a pleasant place to have your winter, you go with the Lamb. But you have to understand the Lamb's purpose isn't to find a comfortable spot for our flesh when it's cold. The Lamb's purpose is not to find a comfortable spot for our flesh when it's cold. What is the Lamb's purpose? That's right. To sacrifice himself. To lay himself on the altar and give his life for God and others. So if we think his purpose is to bless us and make us comfortable, we will not be those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We will not be of that company. We may be the ones worshiping in heaven in chapter 4 and 5, but we will not progress past worshiping the Lamb. We will stay there and we will be his and we will be one with Jesus forever, but we will never be first fruits unto God through this firstborn who goes to the Father because we won't follow him. Simple. It's that simple. What happened to the children in the wilderness? Yeah, those children would not allow that Lamb to lead them into sacrifice in the wilderness. They wouldn't allow it because why? It was uncomfortable. It didn't suit my flesh. I'm not getting enough of my needs met. This isn't the way I think it should be. Moses should make that decision. This is not a good decision for my flesh. How could God love me and make me have to eat manna every day? Why are we wandering around for 40 years? That's not the Lamb sacrificing himself to God and others. Those people weren't following the Lamb whithersoever he went, and neither were the people on the ship. So is it possible to make the ship stop someplace it shouldn't stop based on our soul? What was the beginning of this meeting about? That God has a thing for us for the rest of this trip. And our souls can keep this ship from making its port. That's why we stopped and prayed. We want to be in tune with the Lamb and let him take this ship where it needs to go. Instead of having to stop somewhere, we're not meant to stop because it's fair to winter in Phoenicia or Phoenix and the wind is blowing that direction. But our hearts need to be in tune with something higher than the earth in ourselves. We need to be in tune with the Lamb of God. Amen? Amen. That's what's happening. This is what the story is. God gave me this scripture this morning. I didn't have this planned. This is from the Lord. This isn't from me. This isn't from me. It has nothing to do with me. It's for me. It's big time for me, but it's not from me. So let's keep reading. Verse 14, chapter 27, the storm. But not long after the fair wind from the south blew in, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. This wind has its own name. That's how bad it is. Euroclydon. I don't know if that's right. Clydon. I'm not sure. But it has its own name. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Things are so out of control now that before they were trying to control everything by what they thought was right and what their soul thought would be comfortable. The wind that blew in now is so strong that they're just letting the wind blow the ship wherever it's going to go. They can't even drive it. Have you ever been in that situation where you became so out of tune with God and the circumstances got so strong that you couldn't control your life anymore? It just blew you wherever the wind was blowing. It's going to press you that direction because you have lost control of your life. But where did you lose control? When you stopped letting the Lamb have control. And do you see in the scriptures? That's where the ship lost control, when they listened to something besides following the Lamb. Amen. Okay. So when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the lee a certain island, which is called Cauda, we had much work to do to secure the oar. So now they could have just followed the Lamb and listened to Paul. But they didn't. So God still loves them and his purpose is still upon them, but it's going to be much more difficult now. Much work to secure the boat, which when they had hoisted it, they used helps. Listen to the things they have to do now to get things back on track. Use helps, undergirdings of the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksand. They have to struck sail and so were driven. Listen, they are having to do all these things in their hearts, in their minds, with their ears, with their lives, to get that ship back on track with what the Lord was saying a long time ago. And it's with much work to secure. How many people feel that in their lives, that I'm having to do all kinds of things to get this ship in tune with where the Lord wants it to go, where the Lord wants it to progress, with what God needs. Amen. Anybody feel that way? Has God's purpose left that ship? No. But they're going to have to get after it. They're going to have to get after it. Which when they had hoisted it and used helps and undergirdings and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, how many people fear that they're going to be caught in quicksand where they just can't get back up? I mean, really, seriously. That's a real fear, isn't it, when we get off course from following the Lamb? But the Lord is with us. We have to press in and we'll make it. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they got off the ship. And the third day they were cast out with their own hands, the tackle from the ship. So now what are they starting to do? They're throwing stuff off the ship. And when neither sun nor stars had appeared in many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So they are not even seeing the light of the sun, the moon, the stars for many days. They have lost all hope that they're going to live. Just consider that. Paul's on the ship. You know what the hope is of this ship? The Lamb of God is on the ship. He's in you, he's in you, he's in you. And the blessed thing is he's in the leader, Paul. So they have hope. But what did they feel? We were without hope. Well, maybe it's good that at times we realize we are without hope if we forsake the Lamb. That if we're not going to follow him in the way he needs us to follow him, not just in the teaching of it, but into the altar and into the first fruits being offered through us. Amen. We need to lose hope. We are really hopeless. All of our hope lies when we get back on track with the Lamb in the way he calls back on track. Amen. Amen, guys. Let's get this. Verse 21. But after being long without food, Paul stood forth in the middle of them and said, now Paul's talking again. He hasn't been talking this whole time. Sirs, what is he saying? You should have hearkened unto me. He has the right to say that, doesn't he?
Told you so.
Yeah. He's like, we could have avoided this. But here we are, and let's go. You should have not loosed from Crete, and you have gained this harm and this loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Isn't that cool? He's saying, come on, let's go. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but we will lose the ship. Okay? For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. Why are they all going to live? There's one reason everyone on that ship who missed the Lord, who went their own way, who didn't hear, who didn't trust, who didn't follow, how come they're going to be saved? Someone say it. Because the Lamb is going to get to the altar, and if there's just one person who is willing to give the Father his firstborn son, the whole Dagum ship will be saved. But there's got to be at least one person. Who wants to be the one? I know I do. I tell you what, if it's just me, I'm going in. I am going in. If there's just one person, that whole ship should have died. And would have died, except for God said, came in an angel and said, Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't know that. An angel came to him in the night and said, I'm going to save all these people because you, Paul, have the Lamb of God in you, the firstborn son in you, and he has got to go unto his Father and sacrifice. He has to get to the altar and lay his life down, and therefore everyone in the ship's going to be saved because my purpose ruins. How many people want to be where the Lamb is in a real way, at least in one person?
Amen.
And now I exhort you, therefore, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but we will lose the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, who I am and whom I serve. There it is. He's serving the Father, his Son. Amen. Saying, fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that are in the sail. God gave Paul them. Isn't that something? All them that are in the sail with you. With who? With the Son that's in you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. However, listen, however, we must be cast upon a certain island. Hello. Hello, people. We must be cast upon a certain island. Is that not what the Lord's been saying to us? It's our book. But when the 14th night was come and we were driven up and down, you guys, this is, we got 1 week left. These people, I've been in this boat for like almost, I don't know how long, could be years, I don't know, months, long time. Listen, this one half a sentence is 14 days of being driven up and down and not having eaten for 2 weeks. Can you just tell your soul, get serious? Let's all sing it. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't be a knucklehead. Stop your whining and follow the Lord. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't be a knucklehead. Stop your whining and follow the Lord. They're going up and down, and about midnight, and the sailors deemed that they drew near the same country and sounded and found 20 fathoms. They found it 20 fathoms. You know, they're trying to figure out where that country is. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 50. I mean, can you imagine, you know, the stuff we do just to set up the stage? We're like, hey, move this here, move that there. You know, these people are trying to find land. It's like 15 fathoms. People are hungry. They're going crazy. You're out there, seaweed all over you. It's wet. It's cold. You know, you're trying to, man, can you imagine how serious this can, how awful it can get if our hearts aren't following the Lamb? It's got to be about the Lamb. We're just going
to, right.
You know, really, honestly, it's, why am I here, Lord? Why am I in this? What am I doing here? Get me out. This is crazy. It's just going to be stupid to go through it, right? Unless we want the Lamb. And then it's going to be worth everything to get the treasure and to give the Father the treasure he loves. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Then fearing lest we should fall upon rocks, praise God, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the sailors were about to flee out of the ship, so did you see that sentence? As the sailors were about to flee out of the ship.
Into the ocean?
Yeah. When they had pretty much killed themselves, tried to swim to shore. When they had let down the boat into the sea under pretense, it as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Whew! That's a big move, isn't it? And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take food, saying, this day is the 14th day. You have not eaten for 14 days. Wherefore, I beseech you, take some food, for this is for your health, for there shall not any hair fall from the head of any of you. And when they had thus spoken and taken bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken bread, they began to eat. What are they doing to get ready for the rest of the journey? Eating broken bread. Getting the Lamb in them. They are not going to make it on this journey without Christ and him crucified, broken bread. You got to eat the Lamb, the broken bread Lamb, or we cannot make it on the journey if he's not in our belly giving us strength, right? And that's why if we're just getting stuff in our head, we're going to kill each other on the voyage because he has to be in our belly. You know what I'm saying? He's got to be the strength of our life or we can't make it through this kind of stuff. Way beyond us. So Paul says, we need to eat broken bread. We need to get this so we have strength for the journey for our health. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread. He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had what? When he had broken it, then they began to eat. That's so significant, guys. And when they were all in the ship, 276 people, 276 people that hadn't eaten for 2 weeks. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and they cast out the wheat in the sea. And when it was day, they recognized not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. They loosed the rudder bands. Notice all the ship stuff here. Isn't it funny? It's in the Bible. They loosed the rudder bands. God has this in the Word. And hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made towards shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. Who knows what running the ship aground is?
It's literally like going onto the shore, like running it to where you can't use it anymore because it's on the ground.
Yeah, it's shipwrecked. It's just like, it just has no ability to look up to like port properly. It's not a fun experience. They're running the ship abroad. Where is the sentence where I was at there? They're falling into place. They ran the ship aground and the bow struck fast and remained unmovable, but the stern was broken with the violence of the waves. So the stern of the ship broke with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out of the boat and escape. But the centurion, willing to what? Save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should cast themselves into the sea and get to land. Again, the Lamb is delivering those because he's being redeemed for the Father's sake. And the rest, some on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safely to land. Should we keep going? We've got a chapter left. Ready for chapter 28? And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. So they shipwrecked onto a barbarous island with barbarians. It's a little island called Malta, kind of like Patmos. And they received us, everyone, because of the present rain, because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So a snake fastens onto Paul's hand. And when the barbarians saw a venomous beast hanging on Paul's hand, they said to themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has just escaped the sea, now justice will not let him live." And Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Part of the voyage. However, they looked when he should have swollen and puffed up or fallen down dead suddenly. Amen. But after he didn't puff up, he looked a really great while and they saw no harm come to Paul. So they changed their minds and said, "Oh, he's a god." Okay, now you're going to be a god. So in the same quarters were possessions of chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us, lodged us 3 days courteously. Came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of the fever, a bloody flux, in whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, healed him. So when this was done, others came also to the island who has diseases. They were healed, who also honored us with many honors. They departed and they placed on board everything. Okay, so they have this little foray at the island of Malta, which is filled with barbarians, on the way to Calvary. Okay, what happens on Malta? The devil tries to attack who? Paul. He tries to get to the Lamb. He tries to keep him from going all the way to the offering, to the altar, right? And he does it with a venomous beast who tries to poison him. Has anyone ever felt the enemy just try to poison you? Just get your mind, fill you with poison. But what is he really after? What's the enemy after? Those beasts, that demons, those vipers, that snake that tries to poison us with his thoughts and his evil. He's trying to get the Lamb in us from going to the altar. We think it's about us or this person. They're making, you know, poison about this person, poison about this leader, poison about this church, poison about, you know, knowledge of good and evil, poison about all the things we see. It's not about any of the stuff, the poison says. It's about one thing. The devil wants to stop the Lamb from going to the altar in you. And if you listen to any other thing, you won't shake that beast off. You will be poisoned. You will fall dead or you will puff up. But you will no longer be fit for the altar. The Lamb in you will not be ready. He'll be blemished. He will be blemished. He won't be fit for the altar. That didn't happen to Paul. Instead, he shook him off. And then he started healing people. So much so that everyone from around the island hears news of Paul and they all come to get healed. I bet you money he's preaching the gospel. So there's just a little revival on the island of Malta. I'm sure people were saved. People were healed. Jesus, the kingdom of God, has come. And then they get back in the ship and go to the altar. So let's continue to read. We're almost heading towards the port of our destination. After verse 11, chapter 28, after three months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed there 3 days. From there we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, where we desired to tarry with them. So they found brothers and sisters in Christ. And at Puteoli or whatever, they found brethren there. They stayed there 7 days, and then they went toward Rome, verse 15. From there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns. When Paul saw, he thanked God, he took courage. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldiers. So he's at Rome now, where he's going to give his life. Who killed Jesus? The Romans. Hallelujah. Same lamb. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And I'll skip a bit, but now he's preaching the gospel to the Jews in Rome. And they are confused. And some of them believe, but some believed not. Verse 25, skip down to there. This is chapter 28, verse 25. This is after Paul has been preaching the gospel in the book of Moses and the prophets, the books of Moses and the prophets to the Jews in Rome. Some believed, some don't believe. So Paul says to them in verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall not hear, seeing you shall not understand, seeing you shall not see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people has become obtuse. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews left and had great disputings among themselves. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received everyone who came into them. He preached the kingdom of God. He taught those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man foreboding him. And we know at the end of his days, he was beheaded for the gospel. But he ended his life just poured out over the altar that the Father brought him to there in Rome, where eventually he gave himself as a drink offering, a living sacrifice through the Lamb. But to get there, not just us, but Paul had to go on a great voyage. And that voyage brought every kind of problem and temptation, and every kind of wind tried to blow him away from where God was leading him. Every kind of situation came to keep him from getting there. And isn't it the same in our lives? Isn't the same Jesus that was in Paul in you and me right now? Aren't those same winds that blew on the earth? Isn't that same wind the name Euro, whatever that, you know, that wind that had a name? Is that wind not blowing on the earth now? Are those same winds not blowing on our earth today? They are. And they're trying to blow our ship towards or away from the Lamb, going to the Father, going for others to lay his life down. And it's going to take a heart full of purpose, full of faith, full of following the Lamb whithersoever he goes, to get that ship to where God wants it to go. To give the Father the treasure of his Son, and to give all those people in Rome the treasure of knowing Christ as their life. Everywhere Paul went on his journey, people got the treasure of Jesus, didn't they? Because he kept his treasure chest filled and flowing forth. Everywhere we go on our journey throughout our lives, people can get the treasure through our earthen vessels. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God, and the power may be of God, and not of ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Who wrote that? Paul did. Paul did. And after that, if you read the verses after that, I challenge you, pressed out of measure, all these things. But we despaired not, knowing that we bear in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that death can work in us, so that life can work in you. This is Paul's life. He said we are treasure chests. We're earthen vessels, but we have a treasure. It is the Lamb. And everywhere we go, we carry this treasure, because he's going to die through us so that you can have life, until finally we just give it to the Father. Everything we do is out from the Spirit. Everywhere we go is following the Lamb. It's not about what's best for us. It's about what is best for him, so he can live his sacrificial Lamb life through us. And that's going to look weird to everybody who wants to have a nice winter at Phoenix. And everyone who believes the south wind is where we should all go. And everyone who listens to the captain of ship instead of the Paul who God put on the ship with the Lamb in him. We have to be in tune. We have to be given. We have to let the Lord do whatever it takes to get that ship back on track. Remember all the things they did? fearing that they would be stuck forever in the quicksand and the muck and mire of their own souls, that just stay in religion, stay in teaching, stay in just the dead religion cycle, instead of heading out on the journey of knowing Christ in a living way. I want to get on the high sea. I do not want to stay stuck. Let's pray that. And I believe there was so much the Lord spoke to us. Do you guys feel like the Lord just shared so much? And that is just like amazing amount. I think we need to, you know, let the Spirit wash over us. I think we all need to read those scriptures on our own with the Holy Spirit before God. He will highlight verses. He's going to show you intricacies in that voyage that are right where you're at. And He's going to draw your heart to follow the Lamb in a whole new way through that, and encouraging one another with those verses. So let's pray, and let's let the Lord get our ship right where it needs to be right now on this journey here in Ireland and for our lives. Father, thank you. Thank you for stopping our day and bringing the sharing in the middle, and the weather and the wind not blowing in the direction of a big outing, but blowing in the direction of the Lamb's heart. And that we can be with you where you're at and follow you wherever you want to go. That's why we're here, Lord. Not for our souls to have a fair haven and winter in a nice spot and vacation in a lovely... No! That is not our purpose or destination. You are our purpose and destination. Lamb of God, you are the treasure. We want to get to you. And so, Father, have your way. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our hearts, speak through your word, open our eyes, let us take care of the ship that we are and do what it takes to get the ship on the water right to the desired haven the Father's leading us to. Lord Jesus, we need the living God to guide our hearts. We need the winds of the Spirit to blow in our sails. We need the word of God to be living and fire in our bone, living, Lord. So Father, help us today to just take time with you like we need. And for all that's going to come in the next week, Lord, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And we are. Up to this point, our journey's been wonderful. But Lord, we're halfway there. Get our compass set straight to Jesus for the rest of the course. And may it affect us the rest of our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you for the word of God you give us today. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for Paul and this journey and it being written down in such detail. It's for us. It's for us it was written down in such detail. And all who have a heart to follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth, we thank you and we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, God.